Hey guys, welcome back to New Breed Film Reviews. We have a very special guest, Heather Aspinall. Did I pronounce your last name correctly, Heather?
Yeah, that's fine, yeah.
Okay, good, good. Brian's on a podcast, of course. Heather is the director and the writer of Trap Magic and producer, if I'm not mistaken.
My sister's the producer. Okay. I'm the director and the editor of Trap Magic, yeah.
Okay. Many hats. Jack of all trades, right?
Very talented. So Heather, do you want to talk about yourself a little bit, like your background and how you got into film?
Yeah, sure. So I started, about 6 years ago, when I sort of applied to do a film and media course at the University of Wales. And then since then, I went into do editing. So I'm actually from like a post-production background. Mm-hmm. I worked for a wedding company doing editing for wedding videos and stuff like that. And then I ended up getting a scholarship to go to the University of York to do post-production with visual effects. And then that's how I ended up doing Trap Magic, because it was my fiercest film back in 2015.
That's awesome.
Fantastic. So you actually followed... You actually followed through all the levels, and you know, you worked in the background, the film background. You actually went to school for it. That's great. You have good roots.
Now, Heather, having a background in like the production aspect, do you find it gives you like an advantage with filmmaking?
Post-production background.
Yeah, post-production. Do you think having experience in that, like with the whole editing process, like that helps you like with like filming and directing?
Yeah, definitely. Like, it's very difficult coming from like a post-production background and then like trying to, you know, direct or write and things like that. But I find that I already know what the shots are going to be in my head. Cause, you know, when you're editing, you know, it's like a jigsaw. You're putting all these pieces together. And so, you know, I know what needs to be shot. I know how it will join together. So it's an advantage there, definitely.
That's
and like the visual effects as well, you know how that's going to come in, you know, especially when you're writing as well. So you know exactly how it might pan out. It's definitely an advantage.
And you know what, like what you guys are capable of. So it kind of like dictates the writing also. Like that's what we deal with on a lower level.
Yeah. I was going to say, Dave, I think, like when we do a film, like a short film, I think it's important to have that post-production background, because you actually are realizing what's it gonna look like when it gets onto the computer. You know, when I put it on the chopping block and the editing board, what do I need to do when I'm there filming to make sure that I have all the pieces, like you said, the jigsaw pieces to puzzle to put all together. Somebody that I don't think only has a pre-production background and didn't mess with post too much, I think has trouble with realizing, okay, when it gets to the computer, then you know how am I gonna actually put this together to make a cohesive story.
I think it's more difficult if there's a different editor. So if the director and the editor are completely different people, because then perhaps some of that vision is lost, you know, because it's very difficult to, you know, make it come across by just talking to someone, you know, because it's all in your head. It's very difficult. So maybe some of that will be lost.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, our little film group, New Breed, like we're like lower level, so our budgets are not high at all. And that's an understatement, by the way. And and I would say I'm the writer for the most part. And Brian's like, you got to tone it down, buddy. No starships. No, you know, no planets.
I think you should just go for it. I think, like, no matter what it is, you know, you could always make corrections later. If you want starships, you know, put starships in there and then just, like, get a visual effects artist to do that. You know, doesn't matter what your budget is, you know.
Yeah, we could do, like, Microsoft Paint. And
no, not that bad.
Add some planets.
Stop motion. Doing it old school.
Just have like little foam planets hanging down from the ceiling. Hey, Star Wars, it worked for Star Wars. They did models.
Hey, that was cutting edge.
We're trying to tell a story, you know?
That was cutting edge in the 70s.
Right.
So Heather, what can you tell us about Trap Magic? That's like your baby right there.
It's my baby.
What's Trap Magic exactly? Like the whole story and
Oh wow. It's such a long story, that's the thing. So basically it started out as a thesis film back in 2015. But I found that when I left the university, it was still had things to do on it. It wasn't completely, you know, finished. And I wanted it to be the best it could be, especially when we, you know, we went on Kickstarter, raised all this money for it. And I didn't want to put out a film that I didn't feel was completely, you know, completely there. So I spent like, so I left the university and I came back to Swindon. So I went from York to Swindon and I had to find all like some more crew because the crew was actually students of the University of York and they left. And so I had to find all this crew and I was like, right, so how am I going to find a crew with like no budget, you know, like hardly any budget. And like, so I have to like message a load of people. So that's what I did. I went on Facebook and other social media networking sites and got all these people involved, told them about the project and what I was trying to do. I wanted to make it bigger and better. And that's what we did. And so all these people from all over the world got involved and gradually it just built up. And I think, over 100 people are being involved now.
Wow.
And 100, then, 100 people? Wow.
Yeah. At one point or another. Cause like it varies. Like some people come and go. Some people have been, with the team since like back in 2015. So that's quite good. Mm-hmm. But gradually over the year, it started getting bigger and bigger. We released a trailer. And it got over like 14,000 views. So we ended up going on the BBC, BBC One. So BBC Points West, like the news program. Mm-hmm. And I went on there with the main actor from the short film, Callum Wernie. Mm-hmm. And, which was, it was quite the nerve-wracking. I'd never done anything like that before, to go on my TV. And yeah, so it sort of just exploded from that really. And we, it was, the trailer was recently on, the big screen in Swindon as well. And we've recently had a news article out in Dunstable, about the feature film, Trap Magic, The Broken Blade, which is like a feature film adaptation of the short film. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we've had a lot of response from the Dunstable community there because the film's actually based around the myth of Sally the Dunstable Witch. Mm. So a lot of people were interested in that. So.
Yeah, I remember when we initially talked to you too, and that's kind of like a folklore that's around that area where you live. So I'm sure that you can get a lot of people kind of on.
Not so much where I live, more towards the Dunstable area because that's where I'm looking to shoot.
Yes.
But they all know about it. They were like, oh wow, someone's actually, you know, seen this myth and going to do something with it. So that's, you know, really fantastic. I actually had recently the researcher, someone who did the research, on the myth, get in contact with me and say that she, you know, she really enjoyed the film and, she knows quite a lot about like Sally. So I'm definitely getting interested in getting in contact with her.
Mm-hmm. So Heather, have you always been into like fantasy?
Yeah, I've done different like genres, but I definitely tend to move towards the direction of fantasy.
That's cool. So, yeah, I'm a fan of, like fantasy. I like sci-fi horror fantasy films. Brian, were you the one that recommended the Harry Potter series to me?
I think so. Yeah, I think I said you needed to check it out.
Yeah, I was being really stubborn about it. And I'm like, nah, like I don't want to, you know, but actually it was pretty entertaining.
Have you read the books?
No,
they're like 20 times better, right? Not a big book reader.
I'm always interested to hear like what people's opinions on are, like if you've read the books and then you watch the films, like how does that differ? Do you think the movies are better than the books? You know, so.
Yeah. I would say like 90% of the time, the books are always better, you know?
Yeah.
That's my opinion though. But, okay. Brian, do you have a question?
Yeah, I was going to go into the fact, 100 people that like, startles me. Like you said, it's people that come in and out, but how many of those people are ones that you've like went through film school with as compared to people that you've just kind of, cold called into getting involved with the project?
So there's only a few people from the original crew who were students, involved. But yeah, most of them are from, you know, cold calling and searching online and stuff like that. So
that's pretty good. And like you had said, I don't think we mentioned here, but we had talked about it when we initially talked about the trailer was, that it was kickstarted. So that kind of helped with funds, I'm sure, to bring people in, to work on the initial project with you.
Yeah.
And to push forward for this project.
And with the Kickstarter, we're definitely going to include links in the description of the episode. And, I saw, how many, do you, you only have one, like a Kickstarter page, any other like, crowdfunding, Heather, or just that?
No, it's just Kickstarter.
Okay. Have you made good progress with that?
How do you mean?
As far as like, you know,
meeting your goals.
Yeah. Like the target, you know, goal.
Oh, so when we did Kickstarter, I think that back in 2015, we originally kickstarted the project, but we initially failed to meet our, our target, but we did try again and then we ended up meeting it. So that was fantastic. So
that's awesome. That's awesome. I have a question for Heather, Bryant. If you, do you have anything?
No, go ahead.
Okay. So Heather, what has been like the most, the single most, because I know there's many obstacles when you try to get something like this done, but what's the most challenging aspect of getting this done? Is it money? Is it casting? Like what?
I think it's the psychological aspect. Like it's in the battle in your head. It's like, oh, why am I doing this? Should I keep going? Should I not? Especially like with a project like this, like you, there are some times where it's like amazing. Something amazing happens. Mm-hmm. And then there are times where something completely goes horribly wrong.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, why am I carrying on with this? You know, and it's like, oh, yeah, there's definitely that psychological aspect is probably the hardest part. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So
trying to overcome yourself and keep yourself on the task, right?
Yeah, to just keep going, like keep pushing with it, no matter what you face, you know.
Well, this episode is about you, but for people who follow the podcast, like they know, like I do the, you know, I like to write, so I could definitely relate to you. Like, I think whenever you try to do something like out of the norm and a little bit bigger, like you're always going to kind of doubt yourself in some ways. And like you said, you got to kind of like just push through that and overcome, because you're going to have like down days where you're like, just like how you said, like, why am I doing this? Is this possible? You know, I'm crazy for the, you know, but you got to kind of, you know, if you don't have people out there in the world who say like, I want to do this or do that, and they don't fully go for it, you wouldn't have like astronauts, actors, directors, because everybody will have the attitude of, oh, that's too difficult. And then you have like outside people. I know you know this. You have negative people sometimes that plant bad seeds, and you have people who encourage you. So that inner battle
hate is
going to
hate.
Crazy. Exactly. Eloquently spoken by Brian. Hate is going to hate.
You just got to keep going. But I mean, like, if I told myself like a year ago that like the film was on, you know, featured on BBC, I probably wouldn't have believed you. So you never know what's around the corner. So just keep going.
So it's crazy. It's crazy when you look back at the beginning and then where you're at now, like the accomplishments, right?
Yeah.
Brian,
makes all that blood, sweat, and makes all that blood, sweat, and tears worth it.
Yeah, totally. You got something, Brian?
Yeah. So as far as, you know, you made it to like the BBC and you'd said that there's a bigger feature film that you're looking to do.
Yeah.
That's linked into this on top of what, where are you in progress on that?
Okay. So the Trap Magic, Broken Blade, is basically like a feature film adaptation of the short film.
Yeah, but,
cause the story of Trap Magic is quite long. It's more or less like a series, if that makes sense. So it's like the first sort of film in the series. And so I'm currently at the pre-production stage with that. I'm currently in the pre-production phase and kind of doing the script, finishing off the script, you know, finalizing that, getting that completely nailed, and sort of looking at locations as well. I did visit Dunstable Christmas time last year, just have a look around. I looked at the Priory Church, just to have a look around the grounds there. So yeah, we're sort of at that stage with it at the moment.
Yeah, for all our listeners, if you're not recognizing any of the names that she's saying, she's not in the States. She's actually located across the pond from us, and she's actually a 5-hour time difference from where we are. So she's mm-hmm. talking in, I have to excuse me, the general area of what's the best way to kind of describe like where you are. Like,
well, it's the United Kingdom, right?
Yeah, it's United Kingdom, right? Not England.
Southwest England. England.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's where this kind of storyline and this folklore comes from is that area.
Yeah. Pretty cool. So a little bit of a lighter question. So Heather, what's the most memorable thing that has occurred like with this whole journey? If it's a funny story, it could be anything. It can be a bad experience where it was just a bad day. Just something that stands out.
I'm not sure. Do you mean like part of the production or?
Sure. I mean, it could be something that happened on set, like something blew up, like, you know, any experience that stands out or funny or.
I'm going to say like, I suppose it has to be like the BBC thing, I think. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if that's what you're talking about. But it's just, when we went on the BBC, we walked through the doors to the studio and then seeing like the couches for the interviewers and then but behind it was the Trap Magic logo with the dagger and then seeing that was just like it's just amazing because it was so surreal because you're walking through the BBC studios with these people at computers and you go through these doors and you see your film's logo on there. It's just absolutely amazing feeling. I'll never get over that.
Mm-hmm. So. It's crazy because like you know from the outside you know we see these things like billboards and it's like a fantasy seeing your name on something or like seeing your material up there. Mm-hmm. And but the thing is like it's not something that's impossible. Like anything is really possible. You just got to put the work in. And I could only imagine how it felt for you seeing like the logo and maybe your name on something. How nerve-wracking was it speaking to like these executives and the BBC people? Like 1 to 10, how bad?
Well, it was actually live. I think it was live in front of like 700,000 people or something like that.
Wow.
But we actually went on the radio beforehand and I actually found that a lot more nerve-wracking than actually going on the BBC because I think I was a little bit tired by the time we got to the BBC. But I think you probably could have put me in front of the Queen and it probably wouldn't have bothered me. So.
Right.
So did they tell you before you went on air how many people you're reaching at that moment?
They told me in an email, like, about the sort of audience. So I'm not sure exactly what the audience was, but that's sort of the range, that it was looking at, about that sort of many.
Wow.
I've never done anything like that before. So it's like, you know, you're talking in front of, say, at uni, you're talking in front of like a class of like 20 or 30, and then you're talking in front of over 700,000 people. It's a bit live as well. It's a bit daunting.
Yeah.
Now, Heather, at that moment, do you feel like I made it? You know, like I made it as a filmmaker. Do you feel like that? Well, I know there's always a future goal that you can have, but you know, all your work and short films and stuff that you've done, post production wise, and you've taken this film and you've ran with it all the way up to BBC is a big deal. And getting it in front of an audience like that, as opposed to just like a YouTube audience. I mean, you have to feel like a great amount of accomplishment that you've taken it further outside of YouTube to an actual television production company. How's that make you feel about, you know, your work?
Well, it was a great experience and it was a massive achievement for Jack Magic, but I still don't think I've made it yet. Like, I still think I got a long way to go yet.
So, just to kind of pick your brain, like what would be making it to you, Heather? Is it like, just being rich or fame or your film getting like accolades and awards? Like what's making it to you?
It doesn't really, like the money doesn't really, you know, matter to me and the fame doesn't. I think, you know, if Trap Magic is more famous than me, then it'll be completely worth it. So mm-hmm. I think just when you say make it, I think if I can, you know, if people know about Trap Magic and they go, oh, I saw this, you know, I saw this film last night, I watched this film last night, you know, and I really like these characters and the story is great, then that to me was probably, you know, will be you're making it. Or someone cosplaying as one of the characters, I don't know. So, something like that would definitely be, you know, making it. People recognizing the story and knowing about the story of Trap Magic.
Mm-hmm. That's the way I feel personally. We don't have anything that's out there that's gone as far as you. But I just love the fact to it getting recognized, you know, whatever we do for a film and stuff like that, just being seen by a lot of people and liked and followed. I mean, that's, you know, that's, you pour all this effort as a creative person into doing something and then coming up with an actual product of all your sweat and tears, and you just want everybody to like it. And like you just said, I think it's a good feeling when somebody actually does say, you know, I saw the film and I love it. I love these people. I love what you did with this. You know, that's a fulfilling experience.
And when they get it, like, you know, when you're going for something and you nail it, you know, but it's a terrible feeling when you don't nail it and people don't really see what you're going for and you just kind of fail. So it's like the high and low. Heather, did you want to talk about, the Anything Is Possible movement? What's that about?
Oh, so it's not actually on the pages yet, but basically, like behind the scenes with Trap Magic, we're doing a campaign, and what it is a campaign to, encourage, younger people to aim high, and it's all about, getting that message out. So we've had, probably about almost 60 people involved now from, like, you know, not just, you know, sort of creatives, you know, locally and, you know, all around the world as well, getting involved. And it's just people holding up a sign, you know, that says anything is possible, but it's that motivation, you know, it's those, you know, those words. It's only a small, you know, three words, you know, and it's just spurring that motivation to get people going and to not give up and to just keep going. So
that's an awesome message.
It's a powerful message.
Yeah. And it's super inspirational. And then coming from, you know, you and your team, you guys are doing big things, you know, so it's, somebody who has actually done something. So it holds weight to it, you know? Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, that's really awesome. Was I supposed to spill that?
It's fine. Going up soon anyway, so.
Okay. I was going to say, cause we could like edit that out. I don't know if that was supposed to be out there yet.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Absolutely fine.
But, I was cracking on Dave that he should have smiled. I don't know why he put a serious face when he took a picture.
Oh, okay. So a little backstory with that. I took a picture, like, I guess I'm part of like I don't even know what you want to call it, but, I had a sign up and stuff. Brian said that I look like just, you know, I don't know, like not happy.
That's my face.
You just got a serious face, not a smiling face.
I just have a serious face. I was actually really happy in that picture.
I was like, Dave, I was like, something might be possible, by the way your face looks.
Smiling on the inside, really. That's what you were doing.
Exactly, yes. Exactly. People will pick up on the vibe. Brian, do you have a question?
I was just going to kind of like teeter on the fact of you have all of this background with film and everything like that. Do you find it easier for you to find work where you are, and do you find continually work? Is this like your average job is something within the film industry, or do you do this as like part-time and have a regular like day-to-day job, or do you find a way where you're professionally working within the film industry and make generating money that way?
So I basically do a lot of freelance editing. But you know, the industry is really competitive. So it's like all about getting your foot in the door. I'd love to, you know, take, you know, Trap Magic full time, but you know, at the moment it's not entirely possible. I think, you know, gradually, hopefully it will go in that direction, but at the moment we'll just see what happens.
So do Trap Magic is like a main hobby that you do, and then you have, freelance video work on the side to generate income and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Do you find yourself pouring like your own funds into Trap Magic, or from the money that you generated, does that kind of, I'm sorry if I'm getting personal. and tell me if I can't be, or tell me if I'm digging too deep. It's like, no, I don't want to talk about that, Brian, you know, just, and completely shut me down if it's too far. I'm just curious from our own regard with our own kind of feeling is if you, find yourself, being able to, sustain like trap magic on its own, like trap magic is generating what it needs to do or the, everything, or do you find yourself, pouring everything that you can into, I'm not sure where I'm going with this, Dave.
I think you're trying to ask, if, I don't really know what you're trying to ask.
I don't know where I'm going. I'm a little lost right now.
I think where you're going with it is, how much sacrifice, you're putting in, Heather. Like, are you dumping a lot of your personal, you know, income to make this happen? Like, how big of a sacrifice is going on here?
Well, yeah, gradually, like, I have been doing, definitely putting my, like, you know, own funds into it, but, you know, I'm very attached to the project, so I really don't mind, you know, if I need to, in order to keep it going, then that's absolutely fine with me, because hopefully it'll be worth it in the end, so, yeah.
Was that where you're going with that, Bri? Is that
where what sacrifice is that you're making? Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
It's all about like, you know, putting, you know, the hard work in and to get
obviously
the most,
time.
Yeah.
Time is the thing that you're utilizing the most to generate your stuff is putting a lot of time and effort into, like you said, cold calling people and scheduling and all that kind of stuff and doing meetings and stuff
it
like that.
It just take a lot of the time out of my day, definitely.
Oh yes. Yeah.
It's like about, it's probably 6 hours, maybe more a day. I think I've been doing that for about a year.
Right. Yeah, that's the most amount of sacrifice I'm sure you're making.
It's all the emails, though. It's all about writing emails and contacting people. That takes time. And it's not an automatic yes either. You know, you think, oh, yeah, it's just a quick yes. And that's, you know, they're just going to turn around and say yes. And it's all going to be great. And it's not like I had loads of no's. I've had absolutely so many no's. Mm-hmm. So it takes time to do those emails and to do those, you know, releases, press releases and stuff like that for it. So.
Right. So anybody that's out there, I'm sure you were going to lean into this, Dave, because I think you had this in your notes. But as far as filmmakers out there, you know, this is a testimony to what she's saying right now. She's doing other stuff that she's got to do for freelance work and also pouring, you know, 5-6 hours a day into cold calling people and doing emails and stuff like that. Yeah. And you're sacrificing as much time and effort as you can into putting this into your project to get it. And you've, obviously, it's paid dividends to you to being able to do that stuff.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Were you going to respond, Heather, or?
I didn't understand the question. Sorry.
Oh, no. I was just making a statement in regards to filmmakers out there, or anybody that's listening. Yeah. And you know, you're putting a lot of time and effort. Like you had just said, it's not a yes or no when you're emails, and it's not like okay, I'm just going to shoot this email real quick and then get a response. Yeah. I mean, you're putting in hours and hours a day into this to get
unless you're Martin Scorsese or Steven Spielberg, people aren't going to be knocking on your door and going, hey, can I watch your film? They're not, and the newspaper as well, they're not going to be knocking on your door. So it's up to you to actually get your film out there. If you say, oh, you know, it's an all right film, but if you say, oh yeah, you have to watch it, you know, this, you know, I'm enthusiastic about the story, watch it, you know, then people are going to listen to you. So you need to, it's up to you to get it out there. It's up to you to write those emails and, you know, contact as many people as you can, you know, YouTubers, you know, or, you know, newspapers, everything, and, you know, anyone really. So
it's like, yeah, no one's going to believe in you if you don't believe in yourself, you know, like, what you said is like really important, having a confidence and then as far as things like happening overnight, no, anytime you try to do something big, it's like this like long journey. And, you know, we do like several podcasts and this is like the movie review one, movie related, but, we do kind of like a talk show kind of podcast. And, as far as like the no's, we've had like notable guests on, but for every, let's say every 50, I guess, quote, like celebs, you know, we're contact, like 49 will say no. And like one will say yes and get on. And you just keep trucking forward, you know? And like one thing I noticed with like this, like with the entertainment industry is that you're like, you're nobody until you're somebody. It's like nobody really pays attention to you or follows you until you start doing some things. And then, people give you the time or they want to get invested once you kind of make some kind of a name, you know? I don't know how you feel about that.
Well, I think it was for me, if someone's interested, like enthusiastic the project, you know, it shows. And I like, you know, I like working with people like that. You know, at the moment, I'm currently working with someone called Michael Keeling on his short film called Cast. And it's just his enthusiasm. It, you know, it's really addicting. So if you, you know, so people want to get involved in the project if they can see that you're going to, you know, keep going no matter what and, you know, enthusiastic and passionate about your project. Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to be long-winded. This is actually your episode, but one other thing I just wanted to quickly touch on is, you're passionate about what you're doing. And I think that goes a long way because as you and Brian were, discussing, you know, things take time and, you know, you may not be getting any income in from your projects at all. And it's a lot of sacrifice. And like, we deal with that with the podcast. Like, we don't make money from the podcast. Like, you know, it's our passion. We like to provide kind of like a service for the public, like movie reviews or whatever.
And, it's addicting, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, you only keep going if you're passionate about it. Cause if your motivations are money, you're going to quit. Like you're, you know, because things don't happen
enough
overnight.
From the beginning, you're never going to stick it out. So.
Right. Yeah. We got something, Bray?
And just like I was going to touch on like what you just said is, and I think it's important and I'm sure you can speak to this, Heather, is you have to surround yourself with people that are motivated as well. Yeah. You know, you need to find people that are passionate in their own projects. Willing to hop on your project, and you got to have somebody that's looking forward, looking to take, you know, steps forward and not want to be somebody that is stagnant and is just okay with being where they are. So I think it's important to surround yourself. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Birds of a feather flock together, you know? So if you find somebody that's going to be motivated and pushing forward and you cling to that person and they cling to you, I think that you can do big things, you know? And I'm sure you've come across people with this whole Trap Magic going forward, motivated people as opposed to unmotivated people. And those motivated people help you and feed off you to carry forward, I'm sure.
Yeah, you can't be around negative people or like, like projects like what you're working on, Heather, you have to be around dreamers or like passionate people. You know, you can't be around, people that are just gonna be, you know, just negative, like, oh, we can't do this. Oh, it's too hard. Or what are the odds? You got to kind of be around crazy people.
Yeah. Well, so you said earlier, you know, if you don't believe in yourself, why are others going to believe in you, you know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Right. Heather, what advice do you have for aspiring filmmakers, like just starting? Like what route do they go? Like just any advice?
Try and get, you know, education isn't everything. Try and get as much, you know, hands-on experience as you can, even if it's just like, you know, watching film sets and stuff like that. Because like, even though I don't really have much, you know, I don't really have that much experience on sets and stuff, but because of being editing, I know how things go. I can see, you know, the behind the scenes stuff as well. So just get as much experience as you can, as well. That would be my advice.
That's great advice. Bri, do you have anything?
I was going to lead in, but you can hit up like next question that you have. I think that's a good one.
Okay. The next question that I have for you, Heather, is, what are your end goals, you know, overall, like when it's all said and done, when you're done with film, do you want to have like a bunch of accolades? Like, what do you envision at the end of the road?
At the end of the road? I'm not really sure what you mean. Do you mean like a bunch of awards or?
Do you want to be regarded as like a great director or filmmaker, like one of the best ever? Like, what are like your end goals? Are you just content with having, Trap Magic like conceptualized and be done well?
Well, I don't mind if I'm not known. I'm not doing it to be known or anything like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I think if Trap Magic is known and people go, you know, if I say to someone, hey, oh, you heard of Trap Magic? And they go, yes. And I go, hey, have you heard of me? And they go, no, that doesn't matter. You know, I think I want people to know about Trap Magic. I want people to know about the story. So that's my kind of end goal.
Okay. So an Oscar wouldn't be good.
I'm not saying let's not rule that out, you know.
That's a great goal. Go ahead, Brian.
I was going to follow up and piggyback on yours. Like where do you see yourself in, like 10 years from now? Still like within the film industry? Do you have other projects?
I'm hoping I still work at a job.
Yeah. I was going to say, is that like the goal? Like you said, it's a mini part series. I mean, do you have, multiple ideas that are set forward? Kind of like,
I'd like to definitely keep going with it because, you know,
like a series and stuff like that.
Yep. Yeah. Just expand it and see which direction it goes. I mean, you know, 2 years ago, I didn't realize it would be like a feature film, you know, and now, right. You know, I'm in the pre-production stage for a feature film. So, you know, give it another 5 years and there might be something else that's happening with it. So you never know, really. It's, you know, just keep expanding it. It's interesting.
Like you said, it's a open world that you created. So you can expand past that and do stories within it and continually
take Harry Potter, for example. I mean, she's like done a play. She's got this script book out, isn't she? Like The Cursed Child, isn't it? I think so. Should know this, Heather.
I'm not sure.
She's got a book out, like The Cursed Child. She's got a play out. You know, she's expanded this, you know, Harry Potter. So, you know, we could try to do something like that. I don't know. So.
Kind of off topic, I just want to let the audience know that I have been practicing my sword moves on YouTube. my swashbuckling. Oh, no, that's pirates, right?
Well, you've been coming along nicely, so there you go.
Okay, so I just want, you know, on record, I want to be a knight or something, a cameo, and, you know, some rendition of trap magic, you know. We could do lower level YouTube, Heather. So I wonder how much a ticket goes for. It's probably like about $1,000, right, Bri? From here to
yeah, probably, yeah.
Okay. Just trying to, you know, get my ducks in order here.
We can get to Ireland with the Iceland lines like 190, so I'm not sure how long it would take us to get from Ireland to where you are, but
how would a knight work with like a New York accent though? I don't know how that's gonna.
You can try it. Try one of your hoodie, like that.
Make it work, you know. Okay, we get your horse and everything. We get you a decent cameo.
Okay. Yeah. Well, maybe I just won't speak. So, do you have any more questions?
Can I be like a homeless monk or something like that that yells at them when they walk past or something? You know.
Yeah, we can definitely fit you in. We definitely do that.
So all right, good. In
there. Well, it's got to do with magic too, so we could just, you know, something could be written that makes sense, like time travel or, you know, a night in New York. I don't know.
Teleportation from America.
Yes. Just spit in here.
Yeah, I can be a guy, you know, that.
You could be an American wizard, you know?
Yeah, there you go.
That'll work. So I'm going to send you my audition, my sword moves, Heather. Probably like after the podcast.
I look forward to that.
Heather, do you have anything you want to like promote or pages for the people listening? Anything at all? It's open mic for you right now.
Oh, I'm just going to promote Jet Magic a little bit more then.
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, just, keep checking back on the site. Yeah, we've always got something going on. The campaign will be put on there soon, you know, and we've got stuff happening in the future and in the summer. And then we've got all the stuff happening with Trap Magic, The Broken Blade. So definitely keep, you know, stay tuned on the site for that because it's going to be great. So.
And what is the site, Heather? Trap Magic.
www.facebook.com/trapmagic.
Okay.
Okay. Well, also for the people listening, we're going to have links in the description of the episode. So, we'll get the Kickstarter link and any social media pages for you guys that want to check out the film. I don't have anything else. Do you have anything else, Bri?
I don't have anything else.
Okay. Anything else you want to say at all, Heather, or?
Other than, yeah, keep checking back on the site. I can't think of anything.
Okay. So you guys listening, please support Trap Magic. Please check out the sites. Like I said, we're going to put up the link for the Kickstarter. And we just want to thank Heather for being on. She was like so patient and gracious. Like,
we were going to do this. Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, thank you for being on. We were supposed to start this interview. It took us like 2 hours to get us on. We had technical difficulties.
Yep.
Heather was so awesome and patient, and we would love to have her back later on, you know, with updates of the film. You always have a seat with New Breed Films, Heather.
Oh, thank you.
So, I got nothing else. Bri, if you have any, you know, if you're done, just want to say, again, thanks for being on, Heather. And
yes, thanks for coming on, and good luck to you in all your future aspirations. And let's make sure we get that feature film done. You know, get that pre-production done, and that's. You know, I wish
you write you a cameo in, and write you a cameo in. You know,
yes, right now, yes.
Yes. Yes, we have to do this. I'm dead serious. so, Heather,
it's
you have
a great. Just know it's gonna happen.
It is. You have to believe. Yeah, you believe you can.
Anything
achieve.
Is possible.
Yeah, anything
is possible. That's it. 100%. I'm gonna keep practicing. YouTube has a ton of sword, you know, instructions,
fighting tutorials. Yeah.
But all right, guys, so that's going to wrap up episode 119. We invite you back for 120. If you enjoy the podcast and you haven't subscribed yet, please subscribe. Follow us on social media. You can email us at newbiefilmreviews2014@gmail.com for any requests or comments. And you guys, again, Trap Magic, Google it. Get on those sites. Kickstarter. Help support. Make this film happen.
See you guys later.